What we really believe is revealed in a time of crisis or difficulty. We're going to think about that today as we look at the lives of Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer. Because here we're going to see that it is possible to rejoice even in the most difficult of situations. But also that God brings people to a point of crisis in their life so that they may go on to rejoice in their salvation. Hopefully, we all will be rejoicing as our real spiritual position is exposed and made clear through hearing God's word today. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been following the journey of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke as they made their way into Europe and down to this city of Philippi to spread the gospel. In chapter 16, we read the stories of three very different people and how they've been converted to Christ. There was the businesswoman Lydia, who we heard about last week. She was a worshiper of God, but yet we were told that the Lord opened her heart and she received Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then to verse 16 that we've read from today, we have this young slave girl who was possessed and went about fortune-telling for her owners. But as Paul called out that spirit within her in the name of Jesus, it miraculously left her immediately. The girl's life was transformed. That, of course, brought a lot of trouble for Paul and Silas because the owners of that girl now had no income. They were raging about that. And so they had Paul and Silas hauled before the magistrates in the marketplace to stand trial for their actions. But incredibly, God uses the outcome of this trial to take Paul and Silas into a very difficult place. But there they would be used to share the gospel with a Philippian jailer. As a result of that, he and his family would be saved and they would rejoice in the Lord. But before we come to that jailer, I want to firstly look at what happened to Paul and Silas and see how that they were rejoicing in the midst of a crisis. Open doors serve the persecuted church all across the world. And each year they release a world watch list which shows the countries that are most affected by persecution. It just came out this last month, a couple of weeks ago. But according to the statistics, there has been a 60% increase in the number of Christians who have been killed for their faith. Quite shocking, the increase even in this past year. But you know, it's one thing to say that you believe in Jesus and you're happy to praise him in a place that is safe on that world watch list, in a place where things are going well. But what about when suffering or persecution comes like in many of these other countries? Could we still rejoice? Can we still praise God in the midst of that? Paul and Silas certainly could, and they passed the test here with flying colors. They've been brought before this makeshift court in the middle of the marketplace. And just as it was at Jesus' trial, there were false accusations brought against them. The crowd even joined in the attack and are hurling insults at them. The magistrates then ordered for their clothes to be stripped off their backs, and they were beaten severely with rods. Verse 23 doesn't say how many blows they received, but it certainly was severe. It was painful as the rod struck their bare back. For that wasn't all. They didn't just get let go after that. No, they were sent to prison, and the jailer here is ordered to keep them safely. But he takes no chances. He puts them in the deepest, darkest place of the jail, and he actually has their feet fastened in stocks as well. What a horrendous situation to be in, tightly secured in the darkest part of the jail, in agony, not even able to move. Paul and Silas didn't know what was going to happen to them. They knew that God could rescue them, just like he had done with Peter previously. They also knew that they could be executed, just like Stephen and James had been in the past. There was serious injustice here. I'm not sure how well any of us would react in that situation. Maybe in these days we'd be calling a solicitor with our one phone call. We'd be making an appeal. We'd be trying to take out a countersuit maybe for corruption or wrongful a sentence, a wrong sentence. We might even have tried to fight back for a while, kick back in anger. Or maybe we would have just slumped in a heap. We would have felt sorry for ourselves and, well, just got down about it all. But we don't see any of that with these men. Whatever would happen, their faith and their trust in the Lord remained constant because they kept their eyes fixed on the Lord who never changes. And for those in Christ today, we must also keep our eyes fixed on Him no matter what we face, because we know that He will never leave us or forsake us, even in the most difficult of times. Look at how Paul and Silas respond to this horrible situation. In verse 25, we read, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. How incredible is that? You see, having been saved by Jesus, they've received a new life. They had a deep joy within them that couldn't be taken away no matter what happened to them. At a later time in Romans 5, Paul actually said, we rejoice in our sufferings. Or when he wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. And so even in the agony in this cell, they rejoiced because they were sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Just as He suffered for them, so too they were willing to suffer for the sake of the spread of the gospel. They even rejoiced that this was an opportunity to witness. Because look what it also says in verse 25, and the prisoners were listening to them. It's no wonder they were listening. They'd just seen Paul and Silas take the beating of their life. They were covered in blood. Their wounds were before them. And these men were praying out loud, praising God in their cell. No wonder these men were listening. Anyone would sit up and listen when they saw and heard something like that. But what is even more incredible here is that God has been pleased to answer their prayers right away. Because what happens next is not just singing that's raised the roof or brought the house down. No, God sent an earthquake which shook the foundation of the prison. The doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. One incredible reminder is that even in the most difficult of situations, God is there. He hears our prayer and He is moving with power through them. You know, I don't think any of us in Dromore or Dromore are in the situation that Paul and Silas are in at this time. Yet you may be going through a crisis situation, or you're facing some sort of trial or difficulty in your life. If you are a Christian, I wonder, are you continuing to rejoice in the Lord even through such times? Because you know that He is with you, you know that He is moving with great power for your good and for His glory through that situation. I wonder, can you sing and pray like Paul and Silas because you have that deep joy of the Lord in your life? That joy that's not shaken by circumstances. What a challenge it is to each of us to think about how our response in these situations is actually used as a witness to others. Because being able to praise God in the storm speaks volumes to family and others around us, especially those who are not saved. Especially whenever they are thrown into a crisis situation themselves and they have looked at how you have responded in those times. And we see that in verse 27 as the focus is now brought onto the jailer. And here we see how God used this crisis to save him and along with his family. They would come to rejoice in that salvation. And so we have a crisis that leads to rejoicing. When we think of that word crisis, we maybe have differing opinions of what that actually looks like. But what I'm talking about here is not when someone breaks a nail or gets a wee scratch in their car. Some people can maybe overreact sometimes and say, that's a crisis, that's a desperate situation. But what I'm thinking about here is the sort of thing that would give you nightmares. something that you would never want to come true in your life. Something like what this jailer faced as he woke from his sleep to see that the prison doors were all open. See, this certainly was a crisis situation for him, because he had been ordered to keep these prisoners safe, and losing any of them would have been seen as one of the most disgraceful things for a Roman jailer. He could never show his face again in Philippi if they had all escaped. You see, this was also a crisis for him because his job and what he did meant so much to him. That was his life. That was his all. And so he was in a crisis. He thinks there's only one way out of this. And so he prepares to take his own life. But as he drew out his sword, and as he was about to kill himself, in verse 28, Paul says, Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." How gracious is Paul here? Remember, this was the man, the jailer, who put him in stocks and put him in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. Many people in Paul's shoes would have said, "Good riddance, let him do that. He deserved it." But not Paul. He shows grace to him. He didn't want the jailer to take his own life because he knew that if this man died at that moment, he would have gone to a lost eternity in hell. And that would have been much worse than any suffering Paul or Silas ever endured. And so Paul's cry saves the jailer from imminent death, and it buys him some time to bring the gospel to. The jailer sets down the sword. He gets lights and he rushes in to see what's going on. He's so overwhelmed by all that's going on. He is fearful. And so he falls trembling before Paul and Silas on his knees. And he asks the most important question that anyone could ask. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Some people might say, well, he was just wanting to be saved from the trouble he might get in with his boss or his superiors because they had sort of messed up here. But why would he come to Paul and Silas? They had no sway with the officials. No, this man's crying out to be saved. It's something much greater than that. This is truly a cry for salvation from the Lord, the God of Paul and Silas. Because this man saw that God was clearly at work in that jail. He was at work in his life and all that was going on. Because you see, salvation is a sovereign work of God. And we see that, how he brought about this in this man's life through these circumstances and all that was happening here. Because it wasn't just by chance that jailer would have heard about that slave girl whose life was changed in an instant. Or that he was there to watch Paul and Silas take that severe beating and been put in a prison and been able to pray and rejoice and sing hymns through their suffering. He would have seen that this earthquake didn't just happen randomly or happen to occur in that area where that prison was at that place and time. He would have seen that the locks and the doors and the shackles, they didn't just open by chance. Now, all these circumstances were being used and brought about by God to bring this man to his knees. And as he was brought to within an inch of his life, he was confronted with death and he realized his helplessness in this situation. He trembled because he knew he wasn't right with God and that he had no answers. He didn't know a way out of it. He didn't know how to make it right. Because you see, even though there was a crisis in the jail, something more important was that there was a crisis within this man's soul where he's genuinely seeking an answer. And so he cries out to be saved. I'm sure you've heard testimonies of people over the years where, just like this jailer, they've cried out to God in the midst of a real difficult time, a challenging situation. Maybe it's because of a serious accident they've been involved in. Maybe it was after receiving a terminal diagnosis or after losing everything in bankruptcy. God used these times of crisis in their life to show them their need of him, and they called out to him in those times. But we don't need to wait to be brought to those crisis points in our life before we can be saved. You see, if you're not a Christian, then you need to realize that your life is in a crisis situation right now. Because God is holy and just. And so he can't let your sin go unpunished. Because your sin is rebellion against a holy God. And so by continuing in it, by continuing to go your own way, your life is in serious danger. Maybe God is convicting you of your sin right now. Maybe as you hear these words, your sin has been brought before you. You're confronted with the fact that you've gone your own way in life. You've tried to live as you please, not as God wants you to. And you realize today that you're actually lost without him. You're actually in the same position as this jailer. You're searching for answers. You need a way out. You're actually searching for that joy and that peace that Paul and Silas had even in the midst of a crisis in their life. And so you're asking today, what must I do to be saved? Well, then you need to hear these words that were spoken to a trembling man on his knees. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not maybe or might be someday, but will be saved. Look, it's not rocket science. Paul and Silas give a very simple answer to a very simple question. This is something that anyone can understand, even the youngest of children listening today. See, we all must believe in the Lord Jesus. But notice it's not believe what I tell you. It's not believe in a certain system or believe in a particular procedure or particular denomination. No, we are saved by believing in a particular person. Salvation is only possible by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an incredible verse. It's one we've memorized from Sunday school. Linda talked to us about it with the boys and girls earlier. We even sing about Acts 16:31. But we need to be careful that we don't just lift this verse out of context. We might have the impression that we just need to tell people to believe in the Lord Jesus and leave it like that, as though it's some sort of magic formula. But for someone who's never heard about Jesus, and they don't know who he is or what he has done, they might well think that he's a striker who plays for Man City, for all they know. And so that's why verse 32 is so important here, because it says that they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all his household. See, Paul and Silas told him how he must believe in the Lord Jesus, but they went on to explain what that meant. They went on to explain the gospel message to this man. They would have told that family about Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Maybe you're a Christian, you're thinking, well, that's okay for them. You know, that's Paul and Silas. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't know how to answer that question if somebody asked it to me. But with God's help, you can. And I would encourage you to sit down and think through a simple explanation of what you might say to someone if they were to ask you that question. Maybe someone at work or someone in your family. How would you explain how they can be saved? You can simply talk about the problem of sin and how it's cut every one of us off from God. And although we deserve to be punished for that sin, in his love and in his mercy, God sent his Son into the world to rescue people like us. He became like one of us as Jesus lived a perfect life on earth so that he could go and die on the cross in our place, where he would take the punishment for your sin and for my sin. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Because on the third day, God raised him up from the dead so that all who believe in him and turn from their sin will receive new life, everlasting life, as their sin is forgiven. This is the good news that changes lives. This is what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus, to believe in who he is and what he has done. Because you see, it's not about what I must do to be saved. But as Linda said earlier, it's about believing in what the Lord Jesus has done. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we receive this new life. I wonder today, can you seriously and genuinely say that God has worked in your life and that you truly believe in Jesus? Has there been a clear change in your life, that you've turned away from your sin, that you're living and going in a different direction now? Because we see that with this Philippian jailer, even in those moments just after his conversion. Because look at verse 34. He rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. In the early hours of that morning, that man's life was in crisis. He was on his knees trembling. He was fearful. But now he's able to rejoice because he now knew Christ Jesus as his Savior and Lord. What a change. He rejoiced as he cleaned up the wounds of Paul and Silas. He rejoiced as his household were baptized. He rejoiced in the fellowship in his home as he invited them for a meal together. What an incredible change in this man's life. I wonder, is that change clear in your life and in my life today? Are we able to truly rejoice because we have believed and continue to believe in the Lord Jesus and all he has done for us? See, with Christ we can rejoice even when things aren't going well. I wonder, can we lift our voices and praise him? Can we pray to him in those darkest moments when we face a crisis situation like Paul and Silas? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know all your struggles or your fears. But we can rejoice if we are in Christ. We know he is with us even in those darkest times. And the good news is that if we have Christ in our lives, we can rejoice no matter what, because he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has promised he will be with us. What an incredible witness that is. As we live that out in our lives to a watching world, as we rejoice in the midst of a crisis, as we see how God and show how God has changed our lives through Christ, and we continue to rejoice in him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. We thank you that it is by believing in him alone that we are saved. Saved from the punishment of sin, saved from death. And we are brought into new life, eternal life, as we receive the forgiveness of our sins in him. Lord, we pray that each one listening today would truly be able to rejoice because they believe in the Lord Jesus. And they continue to believe in him, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the most darkest times of their life. Lord, we can still rejoice because we have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And so, Lord, today may you grant that joy unto those who are struggling. Lift them, Lord, in their time of weakness, that they might know your grace to sustain them, that they might call out to you in prayer and praise today. Lord, for those who don't yet know you, we pray that as they're confronted with their sin, as they are brought to that crisis point in their life, we pray that they would call out to you. They would cry out for you to save them and to bring you into that relationship with Christ, because they believe in him with all their heart and they have turned from their sin. Lord, do your work as your word has gone out today. And may you bring about your harvest in your time for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.